It's just too bad we never have fun in church. Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and our Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. I'd like to tell you about the time that I had tongues of fire on my head. You can laugh. It was a prayer service at the seminary. We set out these prayer stations and we organized reflective music. We left the tuba and drums out. Sorry, guys. It had been a time of conflict and division in our community, and the chapel was the one place where people who disagreed could gather for prayer, word and sacrament, and forgiveness. I was kneeling next to a student leader when I felt encouraged to pray for her, that her leadership be wise and discerning, that her faith sustain, encourage, and guide her, that she feel the peace of Christ. And then to my surprise, she began to pray for me, quietly. So I leaned in, right into the prayer boats that held the lighted candles. I heard it before I felt it. My hair was on fire. True story. And let me tell you, I put it out right away. Gathering for prayer, who knew? A full contact sport. The apostles were gathered for prayer in Jerusalem. It was the time of Pentecost, or by its Hebrew name, Shavuot. Shavuot is the festival that arrives 50 days after Passover and celebrates both the grain harvest and the giving of the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. Like other Jewish festivals, it is known for its desserts. Mostly this one, cheesecake and blintzes, anything with milk and honey, gifts of the land the people fleeing slavery in Egypt would receive, sweetness after such bitter sorrow. And God's word, the prophet Ezekiel writes, tastes as sweet as honey. To remember, to celebrate, people from all over the region gathered in Jerusalem. Jews who had settled as far as Rome and Libya, the Isle of Crete and the Arabian Peninsula, Egypt, modern-day Turkey, Iran, and Iraq. You see, the Jews have long lived in diaspora, that is, scattered abroad. Slavery and exile, adventure and trade, freedom and safety, wonder and possibility, this has been their story. Of people on the move. Movement has been our story too. We whose ancestors come from Scandinavia and Europe, Asia and Africa, America and its predecessor lands and peoples. So maybe it's not too hard for us to imagine a world of different people gathering in one place, or the confusion about communicating across difference and language. And the silence it can often bring between people. It is always breath that breaks the silence. In the beginning, the breath of God across the waters. At Pentecost, the wind from heaven. It signifies that something new was about to begin. Something so new that Luke, who writes with the most clarity, with the most intention, is kind of left a little wordless. He is left to use simile and metaphor to help us imagine what on earth was happening. He writes, "It was a sound like a violent wind. It was divided tongues as of fire." Images help us with things we can't quite define or explain to let us understand more fully. And the Holy Spirit is a little hard for us to understand. Anyone else? It's like the writer of John's Gospel offers. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. The Spirit, we read in Scripture, is like wind, like breath. It is powerful. yet it draws near to us, as near even as your chest. The Spirit is God's abiding presence with us and for us, helping us to pray, giving us faith, and leading us to life. Were there actual tongues of fire? I don't know. But there was something. Something new, something more, something extraordinary beyond themselves that gave the apostles, those once ordinary men from up north in the Galilee, the ability to do something that they had never, ever done before: speak and communicate across languages. That's what tongues are here, languages. The speech we make with our tongues that is formed by where we live, who we are, what we know, and what we have heard. So from Rome and Libya, the Isle of Crete and the Arabian Peninsula, from Egypt and modern-day Turkey, Iran, and Iraq, each heard their own distinct language. Each heard the mighty acts of God, God's deeds of power. You know, taking human form, being born in a manger to an unmarried teen from a backwater town, teaching, healing, dying on a cross, and being raised from the dead, proclaiming peace and promising the Spirit of God. It is this very Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that descended on the apostles like it descended on Jesus in his baptism, saying, "This is my Son, my beloved. Listen to him." According to Luke, all heard God's mighty deeds in their native language. The apostles did not speak these languages before that day. So no wonder that all were amazed and perplexed. And while some asked, "What does this mean?" others, well, wondered if the apostles hadn't dipped into the new wine, the sweet wine, the strong wine that had been brought out for the festival. Because that's how it works, right? You drink wine and then all of a sudden your speech is clearer, like more able to be understood. Wait a minute. While some sneer, some wonder. The opposite of doubt here is not knowledge, but wonder. They ask, "What does this mean?" They are not drunk, Peter says, but it's like what the prophet Joel wrote all those years ago. God's word will be poured upon all people, young and old, sons and daughters, men and women, enslaved and free. They will see visions. They will dream dreams. They will speak from God. The people can hear because of God's Spirit. God's Spirit will be poured on all flesh, wherever they are, whoever they are, whatever they know. And the terrifying signs from heaven, wait, okay, of blood and fire, smoky mist, the sun turning to darkness and the moon to blood, heavenly signs? That's a little odd. But even in those, God will be there, promising this, that those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. What a weird way to announce that. In fire and smoke and blood and smoky mist and the sun turning to darkness and the moon to blood, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, even in the scariest of moments. What a weird way to announce that. Weird, kind of like divided tongues of fire, or choosing fishermen to be apostles, or working through a body of believers called the church. God will work through whatever is available to bring us to God, to heal creation, to make it whole, wounds and all. Generation after generation, from the beginning to now, in you, in me, in us, here together. But it doesn't end here, just like it didn't end there in Jerusalem all those years ago. Like those gathered 2,000 years ago, we gather to hear God's mighty deeds, and then we are scattered, spread, and sent back to where we are from, into our very lives, our homes, communities, and places of work. We are sent by the one whose mighty acts gave us courage and strength. We are sent by the Spirit who abides with us. We are sent, trusting that as we call on the name of the Lord, we will be saved, restored, made well, our families, our communities, our health, our schools, our places of work, our world. God is coming to make all things new. For you, through you, within you, and beyond you. You don't have to set your hair on fire to hear it, but God's love is for you and for the whole world. Amen.